In the novel, this is chapter 23, Mike O'Malley, the son of John O'Malley, is a teenager at this point, and he is with his father and then his father's best friend and work companion, Boomer. And Boomer is the man that works underground and sets the dynamite and these blast out the walls that John and his men clean up then. And but anyway, Boomer is a very interesting character, a classic Irishman, but more. So this is the story of the interaction between the son and Boomer. The highlight of most family evenings for me, besides the meals, was playing cribbage with Uncle Thomas. That's Boomer. We played for pennies. For some reason, Uncle Thomas always held bad cards, or so he said when I beat him, which was most of the time. While I played a decent game of cribbage, his run of bad luck tested the outer limits of the laws of probability. I'd catch him winking at my father after suffering another loss and reaching into the pocket to pay up. "Your son is too good for me, John," he'd say. Then he'd quickly pick up the cards, declare sucker's deal, and begin dealing out the cards for the next game, which he'd also usually manage to lose. When I was 11 and 12, I never questioned why I consistently lost to my father and mother but always beat Uncle Thomas. Apparently, the ever-growing stream of Uncle Thomas's pennies that found their way into my bank had clouded my thinking. However, by the time I was wise to the ways of the world 15, I began to suspect there was something fishy about our cribbage games. My first clue came when I caught Uncle Thomas breaking up his hand by tossing his best cards into the crib. After I saw this happen several times, I realized no one but a terrible cribbage player or a fool would make such mistakes. Since Uncle Thomas was neither, it finally occurred to me that he might be throwing the game so I could win. One night as I lay in bed listening to the adult conversations through the paper-thin wall between my bedroom and the living room, I heard my father bawl out Uncle Thomas. "Boomer, no one wins all the time. The boy needs to learn how to lose, so you've got to play him straight." I've heard my mother say many times, "The truth hurts," and yet until that moment I never knew what she meant. However, what Uncle Thomas intended as a generous gesture had robbed me of my first real taste of success in the card-playing adult world. I thought I was a winner. Finding out I'd been duped made me feel betrayed. Since I loved Uncle Thomas, I spent the time between visits trying to figure out a way to make him understand my disappointment without making him feel bad about it. The next Saturday evening, while the women fussed over the dinner in the kitchen, I said casually, "Do you want to play cribbage, Uncle Thomas?" I watched him glance at my father and then say, "I suppose." While my father set up the card table in the living room, I went back to my bedroom and brought back a small bag of 30 pennies that I'd previously fished out of the slit in my bank one by one. Once we were seated across from each other and before he dealt the cards, I counted out 15 pennies and pushed them over in front of him. He eyed me and glanced at my father, who shrugged. After dropping a couple of cards while he was shuffling, Uncle Thomas finally began to deal. Before picking up his hand, he asked, "What is the money for, Mike?" I'd been practicing my speech and was ready for him. "We've been playing with your pennies all this time. Now that I'm 15, I want to see if I'm good enough to play with mine." Uncle Thomas turned to my father. "This smells like your idea, John O'Malley." My dad shook his head. "I think you're wrong, Boomer. You better play your best because it seems the boy wants to beat your butt." He sighed. "Aye, so he does." We played four games and I lost them all. While I was proud of the way I handled the situation, I sure didn't like losing 12 pennies. Later that evening, when I was in the bathroom peeing, Uncle Thomas walked in on me. "Oh, I'm sorry, lad. I didn't know you were in here." However, before backing out, he placed a shiny silver Walking Liberty half dollar on the edge of the sink. I looked at it and at him. He said nothing, but his eyes sent a message that this transaction was just between the two of us. I mouthed a thank you and dribbled pee on my shoe.